in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the people speak.
Good morning. It is 9:26. I am Jeff. This is The People Speak. Talking today with Senator Paul Shemp. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me down. It's good to be back here.
It's I'm a little bit more pleasant this morning. I guess it's warm, but the humidity's a little bit lower right now. I think that's going to change, but...
It is. It's a beautiful Southern Illinois morning. I'm just trying to get back in the routine a little bit, and it seems cool here because I was visiting family in Oklahoma City, and it was hot out there. So I drove back yesterday. It took us about 7.5 hours to get back from Oklahoma City to Waterloo, and just ready to go back and get some work done today. I've got a got a appointment out at the shooting complex where I have an office right after this, and I've got a ton of emails and phone calls to return. So, looking forward to getting back in the swing of things.
Right. So, I mean, obviously we're in recess right now, so your chance for you to get out, you know, in the area and talk to people and.
Right. This is the opportunity, really, that I have to interact with my constituents, learn about the different issues and challenges that we're facing in the 58th Senate District. And, you know, this is the part of the job that I enjoy. And it's something where I really, you know, I learn something new about the 58th Senate District almost every single day. It's just because the district is huge. It goes from Sauget right across from downtown St. Louis all the way down to the very bottom of Union County, and then it reaches out and it grabs all of Jefferson County and Mount Vernon as well. So it's a big district, a lot of different equities, and there's just a lot of different challenges that we face. So when we're not in Springfield, which we're not in session over the summer, you know, unless the governor calls a special session, which doesn't appear to be happening anytime soon, the summer months are really the opportunity that I have to learn about the district and meet with constituents. And I do want to make sure that I let your listeners know that I will have three events coming up. They're called Coffee and Conversations. They're a little bit less formal than a town hall setting would be. It's just an opportunity. I set up an office, not an office, but, you know, I make myself available in a local coffee shop or village hall, you know, have the local mayor come in and sit with me, and we just kind of, you know, just have office hours where the constituents can come up, and if they have something they want to talk about, you know, just let us know. So we're doing the first of those tomorrow morning out in Blueford, which is the eastern part of Jefferson County, about 20 minutes the other side of Mount Vernon. But Mayor Bullard and I will be sitting down at the Blueford Village Hall at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, and just if, you know, anybody wants to say hi, has an issue they want to talk about, wants to let us know about a problem they're having, that's an opportunity for them to do so. And I think that really, you know, I encourage people to come out and see me. So tomorrow's is in Blueford. On the 20th of July, we're going to have one in Steelville. Mayor Sutton and I will be at the Steelville Senior Center at 9 a.m. on Saturday, July 20th. And then on Saturday, July 27th, I'll be in Columbia at the Proving Grounds Cafe with Mayor Hutchinson. So those are, you know, so we have three opportunities coming up where, you know, if you want to come and see me and let me know about a problem that you're having, or just give me a piece of your mind about how you're upset with something that the state of Illinois is doing. And I've been hearing a lot of that lately when I've been walking at the parades. But come out and see me. It really, you know, I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. It makes me a better state senator to hear from my constituents. I'm only as good of a state senator, you know, as my constituents allow me to be by being informed, right, you know, of what they want and what their needs are. So, you know, come out and see me if you have, you know, if you just want to say hi, or if you actually have an issue that you need help with, doesn't matter. Come out and see me.
All right, great. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Shimpf on The People Speak right after this. Welcome back, 9:36. You're listening to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Senator Paul Shimpf, and talking about some of the meet and greets, the coffee and conversations that you got coming up and stuff. And I'd mention we'll get those on our calendar as well, so people, you know, want to keep track of that, they can look, check our calendar out and find out, you know, where you're going to be. And
the advantage of those is, you know, I may, you know, be a little bit closer to you if you, you know, live in Blueford, or if you live in Steelville, you know, come out and see me. You won't have to drive up to the shooting complex or drive into Mount Vernon, you know, to my office. But you know, if you do ever want to just meet with me one-on-one, and those coffee and conversations dates don't work for you, I do have offices throughout the area. I have an office in Murfreesboro. I have an office in Sparta. I have an office in Mount Vernon, and I have an office in Waterloo. And you know, I have time set aside each week to go to those different locations. So I'm more than happy to meet with anybody that has a constituent issue. If you do want to schedule an appointment with me, the best number to call to do that is call my Murfreesboro office, and they can schedule you for any location to meet with me. But that number, that Murfreesboro office, is 618-684-1100. 618-684-1100 is my office number in Murfreesboro, and call that number if you do want to set up an appointment with me.
Okay. Well, I guess we can talk about some of the things that are going on. I guess one thing, I guess, just mention the a little bit of a controversy at the fair this year.
Well, there is, and you know, I found out about the state's decision not to book the band Confederate Railroad really right when they made the decision. And that's not a decision that I would have made. I don't understand. It doesn't make any logical sense to me either. If you're, you know, saying that part of this band's logo is offensive, but yet you're okay with booking the rapper Snoop Dogg, who had a you know, had an album cover, you know, that referencing, you know, President Trump being dead, which I thought was much more offensive. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand that logic. But at the same time, that wasn't something, compared to all the other challenges that our state faces, the problems we have in our society, that's just not something that I really felt like it would be productive to get upset about. And I certainly disagree with folks that are calling for a boycott of the DuQuoin State Fair. I think that's just completely counterproductive, and it punishes, you know, our local vendors and you know, and the DuQuoin State Fair for a decision that was not made in Southern Illinois. That decision was made at the highest levels of the Pritzker administration. So it wasn't the fair manager in DuQuoin. It wasn't anybody local that made that decision. And a boycott would really, that would just punish our Southern Illinois economy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's that statement. Most people think it's probably not, you know, not 100% accurate, but there was a statement, that famous statement that came out of the Vietnam War era, saying, you know, we had to destroy the village in order to save it. Well, you know, let's not apply that philosophy to the DuQuoin State Fair, right, because, you know, our local vendors, our local leaders had absolutely nothing to do with that decision to disinvite Confederate Railroad from performing there. And it's just something, you know, when you talk about, you know, the history, you know, of the Civil War, that is a part of our nation's mm-hmm. history. It's a, you know, the, slavery was a black mark on our nation's founding. It's something that, you know, is a birth defect that our nation, you know, has had to live with, you know, and it's an ugly chapter in our history, but it is part of our history. You know, I don't think we're well served by trying to pretend that didn't happen. And the other thing that makes the whole Civil War issue somewhat complicated is, you know, I think everybody can agree that slavery was the cause of the Civil War. There's, you know, some people tried to say maybe at a different time that, oh, it was about states' rights. Well, no, it was, you know, the war was about slavery, and it was, you know, people, that was a bad reason to try to leave the Union. But I think we also need to remember that even if slavery was the cause of the Civil War, that wasn't necessarily why some people were fighting. I think a lot of the Southern soldiers that were, you know, that took up arms, they didn't own slaves. That's a historical fact. You know, a very small percentage of the Southern population owned slaves, and also by and large, the Confederate soldiers fought because their homeland was being invaded. Mm-hmm. You know, and regardless of how you feel about how you know they may have felt about slavery, when an invading army came into their land and started taking their property, well, you're gonna fight to defend your home, you know, even if you disagree, you know, with the institution of slavery. Mm-hmm. And so I really, you know, that's a problem. I have a problem when people start taking down, you know, monuments to Confederate soldiers, or saying that, well, we're gonna take down, you know, gravestone markers, stuff like that. You know, I respect that people, you know, if people had fought to try to protect their homes, you know, that's something that's a part of American history that, you know, we shouldn't be forgetting.
You know, as they always say about history too, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. So that whole I think it's unfortunate that people have talked about boycotting the DuQuoin State Fair. I certainly do not support that. I intend to be at the DuQuoin State Fair quite a bit, and I would hope that all of our listeners consider attending as well. The DuQuoin State Fair is one of the major economic engines for Southern Illinois, and I think it would definitely harm our economy if the DuQuoin State Fair is not successful. So I'm looking forward to the DuQuoin State Fair this year. I'm going to be down there quite a bit. We'll be having some events there as well. And I'm looking forward to the fair, and I encourage everybody to attend.
Yeah, growing up in Perry County, and I've been to the fair over there, I think just about every year since I was old enough to go. So
yeah, it's a good time. They've started within the last couple of years. They've started recognizing veterans at the fair. This year, I think there's no admission charge for the fair. You may have to pay for parking. I'm not sure, but there's no gate charge at the fair. And this is something that I've had a very good time, you know, at the fair in recent years. I've been, you know, going since I was in law school, and I hope the DuQuoin State Fair, you know, is successful and continues to be successful in the future.
Okay, great. I guess what else have we got?
Well, the other, you know, in addition to talking about, you know, meeting with constituents, the other, I keep busy over the summer months, and one of the things that I'm working on is we've had these two strategic planning studies for both the World Shooting and Recreational Complex and Pyramid State Park. There's been these two strategic planning studies that have been going, that have been headed up by SIU Carbondale, you know, partnering with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Those are both wrapping up. We're looking at coming up with some final reports and submitting those to the new director of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources sometime at the beginning of August. I think we're going to try to make the presentations in conjunction with the opening of the Grand National shooting event out at Sparta, because we know that the director is going to be down for that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think both those strategic planning studies are going to be valuable documents and really set out a way, you know, a blueprint for how we can maximize the potential of both of those facilities, because both Pyramid State Park, the largest state park in Illinois, you know, virtually unknown. I don't think very many people in St. Louis know about it. And then the shooting complex, which people know about, but, you know, it's not utilized as much as I would like to see it utilized. I think both those documents, you know, will help the state of Illinois figure out what those facilities need to maximize their potential.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take our next break here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Shemp here on The People Speak right after this. Welcome back. It is 9:53 here on The People Speak, and we're talking again with Senator Paul Shemp, and talking about the fair, all the different things going on. Obviously, one of the things that's being talked about a lot is the gas tax.
Well, it is, and as you know, as I mentioned earlier in our discussion, I just drove back through Oklahoma and Missouri and got back to Illinois yesterday. But it is amazing how much more we pay in Illinois for gas than what they pay in Oklahoma and Missouri. Mm-hmm. And you know, the vote on the governor's capital plan with the motor fuel tax increase was one that was a vote that I did not take lightly. I thought about it, you know, quite a bit, but ultimately the policy that I had put forth and the promise that I had made to voters was, you know, I would support a capital plan, but the funding for that capital plan had to be paid for at least in part by spending reductions. And what we wound up seeing in Illinois was a capital plan that was funded entirely with new tax increases. And rather than try to reduce spending or make an effort to reduce spending, we didn't even try. Instead, we have increased state spending across the board. Almost every category of discretionary spending where the state has the ability to determine, okay, this is how much we're going to spend, we increased our level of spending, whether it was K-12 education, whether it was Medicaid funding, whether it was higher ed. We increased our spending levels usually between 5% and 10%. And then on top of that, you know, we went ahead and raised taxes and fees on motor fuel and then vehicle registration fees to pay for this capital plan. And that's just not something that I could support. I feel like if you're going to raise taxes on folks, that should be a last resort, not a first resort. And you have to at least make the effort to try to rein in spending. So our budget came in about $40.5 billion. That's the biggest budget we've had. The most, you know, we're spending the most money we have ever spent in this state. If we had said, you know what, let's try to cut, you know, maybe $1 billion worth of spending. You know, so we're not talking about draconian budget cuts. We're talking about a small decrease in spending. And then if we would have gone that route, I would have been willing to support a small increase in the motor fuel tax. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not what the state did. And I just, you know, I can't support, you know, a plan that's, you know, I think is irresponsible. You know, I think the Republican Party, what the Republican Party really needs to stand for in Illinois is economic development, individual freedom, and responsible government. Well, it's not responsible government to just be, you know, increasing spending, increasing taxation, increasing the size of government constantly, especially when, you know, we have a massive amount of unfunded pension liabilities and we have a massive bill backlog. Mm-hmm. You know, to increase spending and increase taxing, you know, with those things out there, that is just not responsible government.
You know, and I said, I think the size of it too, as I'd mentioned earlier, and basically, might as well call it 20 cents a gallon, you know, an increase in the tax. You know, something smaller, you know, a nickel, which would still, I mean, I've heard 2 or 3 cents has increased revenue considerably, you know. So, I mean, you know, a nickel, 7 cents, 8 cents, something like that, you know, wouldn't have been taken quite as hard as, you know, getting slapped with 20 cents at one time.
Well, you have to think as well that for, you know, each, for the amount, you know, if you had reduced the amount of that the taxes were, less people would be going to Missouri to get their gas.
Right.
And you'd have more revenue generated. But you're right. It's, you know, they said it was a 19 cent increase, but with sales tax being charged, it's really 20. And this thing's tied to inflation. It's going to be increasing automatically in the future, unfortunately.
And it kind of punishes the local gas stations that are located close to the.
It does. It's tough to compete for the convenience store owners that are close to Missouri in Kentucky now.
Exactly. Well, it looks like we're out of time, but Senator, thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's always good talking with you, and look forward to talking with you again in a month, Jeff.
All right, great. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow, or Monday, actually. Have a great day.